This is Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the one and only Couple Goals with me, Jordan Brooke, and my beautiful other half.
Soon to be, one day, eventually, Sophie Brooke, a.k.a. Sophie Kasai.
We've done them questions last week about the proposals.
Oh, I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah, I've still got plenty of time. All them gents bought me so much time in them answers. Thank you for that. Go on, Soph.
So today, guys, we've got another amazing, amazing episode for you. It's really exciting. We're going to be diving deep into what happens in a relationship after the honeymoon phase, from taking bold steps to going official, moving in together, marriage, you name it, and everything in between as well. Rings and stuff. But we'll be spilling the tea on what really goes on behind closed doors. But for today,
we have got a very, very special guest today.
Oh, my God.
He's been a friend of mine for many, many years.
Yeah.
And he is the OG of TOWIE, isn't he? Other than Amy, he's him and Amy are the OGs, right?
I think even saying that, people know exactly who it is.
We have got the one and only Harry Durbidge on our show today.
Woo! It's time for the Durbinator.
That's it.
It's time for the Durbinator.
I'm sure he'll talk about it, but we have given him a new nickname on the show in the last few series, and it is the Durbinator. So we've got Harry in the studio today, and we're really looking forward to that. But first, we're going to start with the section of the show we always start with, which is our trending couples.
I love this one.
And in this section, me and Soph will discuss and react to the latest celebrity couples in the news and what is going on today.
Mm.
Soph, do you want to tell us the first one?
So, do you know Sabrina Carpenter, Jord?
I don't, and I hear her name all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm going to put my hands up and be honest, I haven't got a clue who she is.
She's like our Rihanna. Like, you know, like Rihanna was like the it girl back
right.
in the day.
Yeah.
Or like to you like country, like the Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I would never say I was a massive Taylor Swift fan.
Well, you like country. But she's like the new person that everyone loves. Like all these young girls are like obsessed with Sabrina Carpenter. But anyways, so Sabrina Carpenter and Barry Keane split up after 1 year together, with rumours flooding social media that the actor cheated on her with an LA influencer. They were the a couple of the year. So basically, there is a rumour going round that
Barry Boy's been up to no good.
Barry Boy is cheated on her with an LA influencer.
Does anybody know who this LA influencer is?
Oh, could it be Demi Sims?
Oh my God. No.
Could be. What
they,
the Sims is
they are taking
about
over LA at the minute, the Sims.
I don't know who it could be, but I mean, with these LA influencers, I just feel like, you know, the influencer world can be a lot of times. And I just think some of these influencers who are starting out will do anything just to get in the industry.
Yeah.
Sabrina Carpenter is so big and so famous and so beautiful. How anybody could cheat on her is beyond me. It's like so like Ashley Cole when he cheated on Cheryl Cole. Like, I kind of never get my head around
look
that.
Look at you, look up the fellow Geordies.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll never be able to understand that. I'll never be able to understand cheating, but how anyone could cheat on Sabrina Carpenter.
So do we think Barry thought the grass was greener and he's definitely going to regret it?
Well, you know, there is speculation and it is rumours. You know,
the grass is greener, I should have stuck with Sabrina.
I like that one. But how on earth anyone could cheat on her? I hope it isn't true because poor Sabrina. But then again, she's not going to be short of any men.
How old is she?
I think she's quite young. I think she's in her 20s.
Yeah, she's got the like, world at her feet.
She's like the new Christina Aguilera.
You're really bigging her up here.
Please, please.
Is that her?
Yeah, I'm the Geordie version.
You're better. Right, moving on now to some of the shocking celebrity split-ups, actually, this year.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Is a bit, it's a bit damn.
Well, I think there's been quite a few this year, surprisingly. Like, it was all common, left, right and centre.
There has been a few. So I think we've got a list here. I think we should level them from most shocking to least shocking. Like, did we see it coming? Did we not?
All right, go
and
on.
And I would say this one is big. This was huge. This had the whole press flocking around it, really, and everybody into it. And it was Molly May and Tommy Fury.
Yeah, yeah, that one went around the whole groups. Like, all my girl groups, we were like, Oh my God. It was like someone had died.
Yeah, I think everybody was devastated for that
one. Like our moms were even talking about it. Like people at the school were talking about it. People at work were talking about it. Like even, Jordan, it was on primetime news. It was on like ITV
news.
Yeah,
that is mad.
It was mad. And, you know, there was all these rumours about him cheating and what he'd done.
Well, did you see the girl that come out and supposedly said it was her?
I just have no words.
No, what is that about? Why would you want to be known as the girl that split
I do not care saying this, but she is a mess. And if she ever thought she could get away with thinking she got with Tommy Fury, she is delulu.
So are they back together?
Don't think so.
No.
I don't know. I think, look at me thinking I know money. Yeah. But from what I've seen is they really are trying to co-parent, which is so good.
Of course.
No matter what happens in a family relationship, I think co-parenting is very, very, very important.
And we covered that last week when we said about people being friends with their exes. I think there comes a stage when if you can co-parent after a split, and I hope these two are doing it very well. And listen, I really like the pair of them actually as a couple.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have seen recently that my mate Aaron Chalmers has offered him out.
Oh.
So who knows?
Ooh.
So if there is a fight coming up, if Aaron does get the fight, I will be there. I'll be there to watch it.
Right, you've got to answer this now because you know Aaron's one of your long pals.
Listen, Aaron
or Tommy Fury in a fight?
Don't know, you know. Aaron could be the dark horse.
He could be.
But no, you know, both of them, it was just such a sad thing to happen because they were like a love romance that we've all followed. But I've seen Molly May's now got a documentary coming out, so I will be watching that. Thank you.
That's it. I won't be able to get away from that one. Right, moving on to our next couple now. It is Stormzy and Maya Jama. Yeah, that's like the... When you heard them two was back together for me, I thought, that's one you see and you really want to work out.
You do, but then again, are you cheating on her?
Did he?
Oh my God, Jordan.
There's a reoccurring theme here, isn't there? Boys, you're not doing well.
apparently he cheated on her and then they split up and then they got back together. So it was like, she'd give him another chance. I mean, he sang about her in a million songs. Like, he grafted. He grafted for
give
her
back.
Give
us a bit of that song.
What was it again?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know that one. Not good with the rapping, you know what I mean? I don't want to embarrass myself. But he did. He grafted her back and, you know, they were so good when they were back together. Like, it went viral again. But then all of a sudden they just split up again.
Yeah.
Like, I think, thing is, you know, if someone cheats...
Were they like childhood sweethearts?
I think so, yeah. Well, she's quite young still, Maya Jama. But they did split up and they split up for a reason because... he did whatever he did, but then oh my God, no, that he was seen with another girl again.
I really do think though, when you do jobs like them too, it's very, very hard to keep that relationship going, and hats off to anybody who can do it. Obviously Maya Jama is one of the busiest presenters in the TV industry at the minute.
Her?
No, I don't fancy her. No,
I can tell
you.
By your face.
What?
You're telling me you've never looked down and thought, for?
I can appreciate that she's good looking, but she's not my beautiful soul.
How do you always like get out of it?
Well,
it's true.
Take note, gents. So, but I do think it's very hard to maintain that, you know. Like, obviously, he's worldwide superstar travelling around, and she's so busy in the TV industry. Yeah. You can't have the time together. Me and you are joined to each other's hips. We're lucky. We live together and work together a lot of the time. Mm. We're on the same jobs. We do this together, couple goals.
Yeah.
We do Towie together, Geordie together, your documentary together.
Yeah,
can't
of
get rid of her.
Oh, stop it. I love it. I am your work colleague. We mix business and pleasure. It's great.
Yeah.
Okay, next one we have... Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck.
Yeah, that again was another one I think that has been a long time.
It is. They rekindled, didn't they? Didn't they get married? They got married.
Did they get married?
Yeah, I think they got married as well.
And they split up.
There's
that really famous photo of Ben Affleck, isn't there? Affleck, when he looks absolutely haggard with a fag in his hand.
No, there's another one where he's like being really rude. Well, like they've had an argument and she's like getting in the car and he's like, it just didn't look right.
Great actor, by the way.
Yeah.
Batman.
I wonder if they just say like, look, the whole nation wants us back together. Let's just do it. Even though we hate each other.
It's a bit like Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie though. They never did it, did they?
Yeah, nah. They
tried. They give it a good go, Brangelina.
Yeah.
And what about Ruth Langsford and Eamon Holmes?
Who's
now they
that?
Must have, you know them. They used to present This Morning together.
What, they split up?
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, but obviously they're older now to split up.
Isn't their daughter Emily Attack?
No, their daughter's definitely not Emily Attack, is it?
Is it not?
No,
oh.
You're miles off it there. You know about as much as about them two as I do about Sabrina Carpenter.
Well, like, morning TV is not my thing. I'm never up.
No, true. Yeah. So it doesn't see anything before 11.
Well, there we go.
But that I think the most... But let's just quickly say so. So out of them four, I think it goes most shocking. I think Jennifer Lopez, Ben Affleck down the bottom because it was over in America.
Yeah.
Ruth Langston and Eamon Holmes was a little bit shocking. Stormzy and Maya second, and top is Molly May and Tommy Fury.
Yeah, of course. That was the biggest one. I still can't get over it this day.
No, I hope they end up working it out, you know. But yeah, we'll see. Right, moving on to our next part of the show now, which is our couple dilemmas. And these are dilemmas that everybody in relationships go through, or you will know someone that's gone through it.
Yep.
And we try and give our outlook and our take on it. And the dilemma this week is, when is too early to say I love you? Now, we're not going to be good at giving
we're
advice
really
on this one.
We're really bad at this one.
So said it the night we met.
Yeah. I did. Right, okay. Right, let's just clear this up, right? So... I used to be the person to say it very early, right? Like, I could say it.
You still are.
But didn't mean it, George. It's right. Different. There's a difference here.
You didn't mean it when you said it to me first time.
No, man, I'm just saying in the past, you just go, oh, my God, I definitely love him. But I never loved them.
Okay.
But the love I have for you is different. Ooh. I think I've said this before.
Wiggling out of it.
But I just think when the time's right, it's right. You know, loads of people say this and like, oh, whatever. But when it feels right, it feels right.
Yep.
You know, sometimes you do question, oh my God, do I love them or not? Or is this lust? So there's a difference. There's lust and there's love.
Yep. You love the idea of someone, but not actually them.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So there can be like, you feel like you love them, but it's this like lust kind of
and
love.
And excitement.
Or there's actually love.
Yeah.
And when I said I love you, I remember I said it in the car.
In the cab, yeah.
In the cab. And I was like, oh my God, I love you.
Yeah, that was the day I made you my girlfriend, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I said, I love you. And you were like, I love you too. And I was like, I love you, 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 I love you so much, I love you so much. Oh my God, I love you. But look, I think if the time's right, the time's right. But you need to do question, like, is it lust kind of love or is it love kind of love? Because there's different things. You know, you like the idea of thinking you love them or it can be lust. So I think you just need to think about it. But when the time's right, it's right. But I always say the 3-month mark.
3 months. We were nowhere near 3 months. We was about 3 weeks in. Yeah, you need to talk from your own experience.
No, I'm just trying to give people good rational advice.
Yeah, so rationally, if you're not like me, if you are like me and Soph, then it works, clearly. Yeah. We was two-footed straight in. I love you too. That was great.
Yeah, yeah,
but it isn't like that for everyone. And sometimes there is other things.
Things take time.
Yeah. And it is.
I've got friends and my friends will talk about it. And they're like, it took their partner so long to say I love you. And they still struggle to say it now.
Yeah.
Some people do struggle to say it, you know. But she knows that he loves her.
Yeah.
But he just struggles to say it verbally. Mm. So.
Yeah. I think that can tend to be a male thing sometimes. I'm talking sort of on behalf of men here in general. Sometimes men do suffer to show their emotions a bit more.
Great?
I'm a very emotional person, as a lot of people know.
Well, when I first met you, I got quite a fright because I was like, oh my God, he like wears his heart on his sleeve and he's like so open and he's so emotional. And that's really rare to get from men.
Yeah.
You know, from men that I've grown up with on Geordie Shore and stuff, it's been like proper like men who are quite scared to talk about emotions.
Very proud, you know.
Yeah, you know, like proper lads.
Yeah,
lads.
And I think, do you know who's done it very well recently? Obviously, my favourite person on TV at the minute, Mr. Danny Jones, who was just what I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. Round of applause for Danny. But when I watch him talk about his wife and his children and obviously his upbringing with about his dad, and he was so open to Barry, I think that's a very good advocate for men opening up. And
I do
say you love your bird. Say what's on your mind, you know. And I've been a big advocate for that in TOWIE over the recent months, that things aren't always easy. Things can be a bit tough with me and you. But the fact that I do turn and say, listen, darling, I love you, that makes things easier to get through.
Of course. You know? We tell each other we love each other about 1,000 times a day.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like having a bath and I can hear you in the kitchen. Soph, what? Love you. Yeah. Love you. Yeah. And I
All
do.
Right. Don't embarrass me on national radio.
But I do think it helps relationships when your man is a little bit more affectionate and he is a little bit open about his feelings. Mm. It just makes life feel better. And you feel that, like, it's safety, and you've just got that, like, what's a word, like, contentment of that your partner loves you. You
That's
know, it doesn't take much to say I love you to your partner.
So I think the bottom line of it is say it when you feel it and when you're ready, and don't be scared.
Yeah, and say it with your chest.
Well done. Right.
I love you.
That is the end of our first part of the show. Now we're going to go to a short break and we will see you in a second.
Couple Goals continues next on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Couple Goals with me, Jordan Brooke.
And me, Sophie Kassai.
Right, this is the part of the show we've all been waiting for.
Yeah, it's a good one.
We're getting some exclusive news here with an amazing guest, one of my true friends, Mr. Harry Durbidge, everybody.
Woo! Harry.
Earlier, we spoke to Harry Durbidge, the TOWIE star, about his thoughts on all things relationships. Mm. We started by discussing the first time Sophie saw me back on the show. We was talking about when Sophie see me first come back onto the scene, back onto our show, TOWIE, yep. When I had that lovely pair of dissolvable shorts that you gave me.
What happened there, though?
Right, this is, I tell you...
Harry, did you want to see his bum bum?
No, what happened was, is that I... What did you do to me? And it was payback for something you done.
I threw you down the slide.
That was it. He threw me down a slide and it never got shown on TOWIE, but basically he threw me down a slide.
Bear in mind, he's terrified of fish. He's in the middle of the sea.
He's threw me down a slide. All the salt water's gone up my nose.
My
I had a nosebleed.
Yes, I remember.
I had a nosebleed. I had everyone coming around me with all the medics going, what's going on? What's going on? And I was like, my nose is bleeding. But they never showed the extent of the nosebleed on TOWIE.
Oh my God.
So then I literally had these shorts and I was like, get Jordan to wear them because they're going to be hysterical.
How did you not know?
I didn't know because I turned up. They told me, they set me up, they said, wear your nice tailored shorts, love, you're not going to be jumping in. Then obviously they wanted me to jump in. And I was like, I've got no swimming trunks. These shorts are brand new retail. I went, yeah, have them. And
oh
I thought,
my God,
it was
that
so
is
annoying because I thought, and obviously I'm trying to make a bit of a comeback. And I thought, one hand on my bum, trying to swim.
No, yeah, two big hands. Yeah,
two big hands.
I definitely done you good that day.
Yes,
that was a good
was
one. When Jordan, were you on, obviously you were there when Jordan first was on TOWIE as well?
When Jordan first come on TOWIE, I wasn't on the show at that point.
I'd done
like series 1, 2, 3, came back on a random one on like 12. Mm. And then came back on series 26 for the 10-year anniversary, and then I've just stayed
And
since.
Then I come back in series 30, and we went to Dominican together, which was the first sort of big holiday
big,
I did
yeah.
back, wasn't it? Which was really good.
Right, so what did you think, Harry, when you first seen Jordan? Like, what was the initial impression?
Oh, well, we've known Jordan for
True,
years.
Yes. Yeah.
So, like, when... I literally remember getting to that airport to go to Dominican Republic and literally seeing Jordan there, and me and Amy was like so happy.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Because it's like when someone comes on back on the
but
show and they're, and you know them, you're like, yes, it's another friend.
Yeah, yeah. It's a warm.
Yeah, it's
of
a good
course.
Thing. It's a good thing.
And it was good.
Happy.
It was always nice when you're going back into that sort of atmosphere.
Yeah.
I was going back as obviously a young single lad. I was friends with Lockie. I hadn't seen Dan and Dykes for a while, but they was always my pals. But it was new cast I'd never met, which was like... The Ellers, the Danny, Roman, I'd never really met them, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was a big thing going back. So to have support of your family, friends
yeah,
there obviously
and,
helped.
And to have all the girls fancying you as well.
Yeah, well, that helped.
Listen, I watched this. I was a fan back then. Let's not get into that. You know what really, what started to happen, Harry? So obviously me and Jordan had just got together.
Yeah.
And that series had came out.
Yeah.
And me and obviously Jordan was coming to my house. I was going to his. And Jordan likes to watch TOWIE, right? So he was watching it. And I remember being in my bedroom back in Newcastle.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I don't think you can watch this one. I was like, why? Why? He's like, nah, I don't think you can. I was like, why? What happens? Anyways, right, he's watching it. I get a clip. He's kissing Ella.
Oh. But this
I
is why.
Broken. I was like, go
but,
on,
but
no
this
one
is
now.
Why. This is why relationships in the public eye are hard when you do TV.
Yeah.
Because we had filmed that weeks and weeks and weeks before. It was before I'd even met you. And what was hard about that? I was going through one of the hardest things I'd ever been through on TV, which was when my mum wasn't well.
Yeah.
And you was the top support through that. You was unbelievable. You know, unfortunately, mum had breast cancer, and that. So it all tied in. I really wanted to watch that episode because it was a big fundraiser I did. I was singing. I sang to my mum. She got her all clear results. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
But I did happen to kiss Ella at the end of that episode. And it's so hard managing a relationship there.
In the public eye.
Yeah, because I'd now met you.
Mm.
So to then... And if you meet someone who doesn't do the same thing and try and explain to the girl that you're now seeing... Don't believe that because it was weeks ago. They're not going to get it.
Yeah,
you understood it.
Of course. And this is why I want to ask you, Harry, as well. Like, obviously, me and you would be in the public eye for a very long time since we were like...
very long.
Like,
yeah.
How old were you?
I was 16 when I joined TOWIE.
16?
I was 16 and I'm now 30. So
isn't
what's that?
Isn't that mental? Yeah.
14 years.
24 years.
No, it's not.
14 years.
Jordan,
you put another 10 years on me. I'm not 40.
But obviously being in the public eye for that long, relationships can be hard.
Yeah,
you've got, to be honest, you've got public relationships or you've got non-public. Have you ever, you know, when you start meeting people and you'd go on dates and stuff, do you prefer people who are well known about the industry and know about it, or do you prefer someone who's just so MIA?
To be honest with you, I had this exact conversation the other day. I've never dated someone else that has been in the public eye.
Right.
I've always dated people.
Is that out of choice?
It's not out of choice. It's just like what happens like to me, and I meet someone I like them, and they're just a normal person, and then they kind of come into our life, and they live a bit of our life as well, and sometimes it's a good thing, and then sometimes it's not a good thing because sometimes they could get carried away with things, or it's a good thing because then they come on a journey with you. So it just depends. I think it all just depends on meeting the right person.
I think it comes with major opinions, meeting someone, especially if you meet someone in the same industry.
Yeah.
And I've been like a victim of that, and so have you. What your thoughts of when I first told you I was dating Sophie were? What did you think?
Oh my God, I loved it when I first heard you two were getting together,
because
I've
known Sophie for years.
Yeah. Please talk about when we first met.
So I first met Sophie. So I had a job on Channel 5 as a presenter. Please do not ask me why I got a job as a presenter. I will never know till this day. But I had this job as a presenter, and I had to interview. My first ever interview on it was interviewing the Geordie Shore cast before they aired.
What do you think?
And I remember meeting you and coming
up. I'd love
to
find this somewhere, by the way.
I remember being
interview.
Really quiet, and I was trying to be professional. I was trying to be a presenter. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I went upstairs. I was like, hi, how are you? And I remember you going, Harry!
Because you should all tell me.
We were like, oh my God. We were like, shut up, Regezzo.
And then we stayed in contact after that.
Yeah,
and then
did.
You came to my 18th birthday.
And there is a really nice picture of your 18th birthday.
It's a lovely. We actually recreated that picture
this year,
didn't we?
We did.
So we recreated it.
But that's what I'm saying. So we're going back to people's opinions. It was so nice that obviously you're a great friend of mine. You were so happy for me that I've met someone that was in the same industry.
I think it definitely, listen, what you're both in reality TV, you both do the exact same thing.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So for you, it's like, it's going to work.
Well, I didn't know whether it worked. Sorry, John. I didn't know whether it was going to work.
Yeah.
You always
said you didn't want to be with someone in TV.
I never wanted to be with someone in TV because I didn't know whether there would be sort of rivalry, a bit of jealousy, you know, because I didn't know you could meet people like John where, you know, he hasn't got that jealous bone in it.
She's been a bit jealous today. I've got the controls.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, but I'm always in control.
Can you
hear
her? I'm joking.
So I always didn't know whether it was going to be right, whether getting someone to get with someone in the public eye, but we get to do things like this, so you can work as a team or you can work against each other.
Yeah,
and I think sometimes, listen, life is life. If you're meant to be together, you're meant to be together, no matter who does what and who says what. If you're meant to be together, you are going to be together, and I think you two are meant to be together.
Yeah, but you open yourself up to them opinions from people who don't believe
it.
Oh,
yeah.
So I remember when I first announced, me and Soph kept it a secret for quite some time because we didn't know how it was going to go. We did the classic like photos. People knew it was speculating in the press of who Soph was dating and it, like, was it me, was it not? And then unfortunately on our show, people that I thought was our friends decided to go against me completely, and they was like, you're with Sophie for this reason, you're with Sophie for that reason, since eating their words and saying that now they really believe that we're in love.
Yeah.
But even as people as close to me on our show decided to voice their opinions and do that, and I think it's very hard to be thick-skinned sometimes.
Mm.
Obviously, me and you are very thick-skinned and we don't let that get to us, and we never did.
No.
You stick together as a team. But you open yourselves up to that from people, don't you?
Yeah, you do. You do. And I bet you've had it as well, Harry, being in the public eye.
Being in the public eye, I think it's hard to meet someone that
who you trust.
That you can trust and that is genuine.
Mm.
Like, I think it's very, very hard. Like, I've gone through a lot of heartbreak in my life. Like, and I've always been such a genuine person, a very loving person, and I'll do anything for anyone. I do think what you two are saying is, like, if I could meet someone that was in a similar career to me, the same way you two are doing it.
Would you like that?
I think now with my headspace, I think I would prefer that.
Right. Mm.
Just because you'd understand each other.
And you know that they're already in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard it's hard, like I said, about the Ella thing. It's hard to tell someone who's not in TV to try and understand it sometimes,
isn't
it?
I said this to you. When me and John got together, I was like, if I was a normal girl, right, with a normal job, and you were kissing another girl on TV and then working with that after, You as a girl, you wouldn't be able to handle that.
Yeah.
But for me, I got the TV.
Do you know what's really funny about TOWIE and how it works now? So back in the day, we used to film an episode.
And it came out.
And it would air.
The next week.
It would air the next week. It would air the next week.
Yeah.
Which, and obviously like now, like we film a whole series and then it airs. So like,
what was that like?
Back in the day, there's good and bad in it both, I think.
It was almost like live alongside your real life, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it kind of live. And you had to deal with people's reaction in the public there and then while you were filming. Where now what we do is that something happens. So like if I have an argument with another cast member, that was filmed 2 months ago. I'm over it now. Mm. But there's good and bad in it all. And sometimes you think, oh my God, something so dramatic has happened. I want it just to get out of the way now and get it out. Yeah. So there's good and bad in it both.
When you think back to TOWIE, like what is your biggest iconic scene that everyone always talks about? There must be like one iconic thing.
I know what he's going to say.
Is it hot in India? It is very hot in
How
India.
How mad. And that was all them years ago, and it's still one of the most iconic parts ever.
People make TikToks about this every day. I swipe all the time and people are making TikToks about me and
it's
Amy.
It's brilliant. Would you always carry on in reality TV? Is this what you love?
Yeah.
Is
do you know what? When I came back to TOWIE to do the 10-year anniversary, it was like me and Amy never left, so that's why we carried on. And we've got such a massive love and appreciation to TOWIE, because if it wasn't for TOWIE, and same with you with Geordie Shore, if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be sitting here right now on these mics. So like, we have such a big love for it, and I just love doing it.
You can't knock the experiences that we have doing it. It does come with its ups and its downs, relationships being one of them, you know. And obviously, I know we won't go into too much detail, but you've had a pretty tough series, this series.
Yeah.
We haven't got to go into it too much. And we've all had them tough times over the years with relationships on TV.
Yeah.
You know?
What advice would you give, Harry's, to anyone like who's going through a really tough breakup? Maybe it's public in the friendship group or work or whatever.
Yeah.
What would you say to them? Like, how did you get through it?
I don't know if I'm the best person to give advice at the minute, because I'm still healing from it.
Yeah.
And heartbreak is honestly like the worst thing anyone I think could go through. Grieving and heartbreak is terrible, and especially when you have to do it alone. I'm 30 now.
Yeah.
I live on my own. Yeah, you know, I have to go home on my own. I have to look at a bed that I shared with someone for a year, and they're not there anymore.
Mm.
And then you think to yourself, you was with someone, and you feel like now you didn't even know who that person was you spent time with. A lot of things will go over in your head, and you will question yourself every day. My advice, and this is what I'm doing at the minute, is not dating.
Yeah,
not jumping into another relationship.
Yeah,
I want, all I'm doing is working on myself.
Brilliant.
I'm going to the gym every day. I'm eating healthy. I'm buying new clothes. I'm making myself feel nice. Good. And every day you do get a little bit stronger. It doesn't seem like it at the time, but you do. And when you heal, and hopefully when I heal, I know I'll look back at this and go, this was the biggest lesson of my life.
Yeah, 100%. You come back as a better version of yourself. And I'd say, 100%. Listen, hats off to you. I think you're doing very, very well.
Oh, amazing.
And I think to be able to sit here now, live on a radio show, and actually speak like that, it makes it clear that you're not the only one going through that. There's so many people that live on your own. You've been through that on your own. But once you start talking about it to people, I've learned over this year, over this series of TOWIE we've just filmed, talking is a good therapy to people.
Best.
You've been around ours so much over these last few months. It's been brilliant to see you, but talking has helped, right?
Oh my God, massively. And for me, like, I don't believe in karma.
Mm.
I believe in peace.
Yeah.
I think that is the best thing to do when you go through something like quite traumatic. You're better off to have your peace.
I agree. I think like splitting up with exes and stuff, I think it is a lot better when it's a little bit amicable. If you can both just walk away and it just be done, that is easier.
I mean, I wish that happened to me.
probably own experience, but that can be a little bit easier. But if there's both peace and you both can walk away, that makes it a little bit easier. But if you're still speaking, you're still talking to each other, that's when it needs to cut off, you know, because people can long relationships out. And the only way you are going to heal if you do cut off from that person and you just get on with your life. So
I only learned about the no contact rule the other day.
Oh,
I didn't realise that was a real
thing. I've already begun that.
Well, no contact.
The no contact rule.
Yeah, radio silence always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're good at that, aren't you, love?
Yeah, I am.
He is awful like that, Harry. He is, right? Like, he is such a good, good boyfriend. But by God, if we have a bigger, he's that one who will not reply.
Oh.
So it makes me reply now.
Do you know what I love? I love a block.
I would never block her.
I blocked your WhatsApp for an hour.
You two can't block each other.
For an hour, I blocked your WhatsApp. I knew you wouldn't see.
Didn't even notice. Oh, I was playing golf, I think.
If someone does me dirty, block.
Block's the easiest thing, is it?
Block.
But then, if you do block, do you have a little snoop still?
No. Do you know what? Like I said earlier, like I think it'll affect you if you look.
Yeah.
So I block to avoid seeing.
Mm. I'm a massive believer in out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I wish I could say the same. I'd fake accounts.
You've got fake accounts.
No, I used to.
You've been a stalker. You've got Psycho Sophie tattooed on your foot.
Yeah, but I just needed to know. I needed to know what was going on. And obviously, I couldn't stalk on my account because people would say, you know, Sophie Kasai. So I'd make like an account. I think I was like...
What was the name?
It was like Aesthetic something.
Oh,
good one, that is.
Yeah, nice. I'm just gonna look for that down my stories now.
And then went on that, and I used to obviously sort them, who they were dating, then who's our mom, who's our auntie, who's the granddad. Then used to go on their account, and I found everything I wanted to find.
See, but don't you think though, if you do that, like it will just affect you in the longer run?
This just proves. Sorry, the difference between men and women. She does that. Do you know what I do,
Jordan?
Go down the pub.
No, Jordan, men still stalk.
I don't think I've ever stalked an ex in my life. I swear on my life.
Your friends have stalked, hello.
No, I don't think they have. I don't think they have, honestly.
I don't believe them.
I don't think they have. And I don't need to worry about it anymore.
I actually think I believe Jordan.
Yeah. I'm very laid back and chilled out.
Come on.
And I've got a very cold side, as we know, that I can turn on.
You have actually.
But I haven't got to worry about it anymore, Harry, because I'm never going to have an ex again. Do you know why? Because I'm lucky enough to have the love of my life.
You're
going to
marry this one.
Harry, you're going to be at our wedding one day.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll be at yours one day.
Oh, God, I'll need a date to your wedding first.
Right.
If anyone wants to date me, hit me up on
Tell us, Harry, your ideal type in a man now before you go.
Yeah, go on.
Do you know what? Everyone asks me this question all the time.
And not looks, yeah, like personality.
You want? No. Look, you're in your 30s now. I don't
have a type. I always say, if you lined up all my ex-boyfriends in a row, you'd be like,
same.
They're all very, very different. My first boyfriend was a Scouser.
Oh,
yeah,
Northerner.
Then I was with like a big muscly man. Then I met someone skinny. Like my types are all so different. But do you know what it is? I think I've just got to a point in my life, like, even though I'm not looking to meet someone at this point in time, if I did meet someone, all I just want is pure love.
Love.
Ah, that's good though.
Harry, you will get that. But you know, sometimes you've just got to wait.
Yeah.
I waited 4 years to find Jordan. And I dated and I dated and I went through so much. And I used to, same as you, 30-year-old, living in my house on my own, cooking dinner on my own. I know all them feelings. And then Jordan just came along out of nowhere. Wasn't a type I'd wrote down on paper. But when I met him, I was like, wow, this is different. So when I say it's going to happen to everyone, always have hope and sleep with a rose quartz crystal on your forehead.
Oh my God, I've got a rose quartz and I've got a little guardian angel.
There we go.
And I sleep next to it every night.
It'll work for me.
And I think that is the best bit of positive advice we can possibly end the show on.
There we go. And Harry, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
I love you know what? I absolutely love him so much. And I'm so excited for him to go on his travels. He's going down under and going to see the world. And, Joe, that is what single life should be about.
Absolutely.
Getting out there and go meeting other people.
Of course.
A really far way away from Essex. And he deserves it.
Of course. And Harry's been through it recently. You know, he's a good friend of mine. Me and you have been there for him.
Yeah.
And he deserves the world. He shows you how... unfortunately, the bad side of relationships, what it can do to you. You know what I mean?
But he's
come out on top. He's strong. He's had good friends and family around him. And he's going to live his best life. Good luck, mate.
Good luck.
We wish you all of the best. And I can't wait to see you for the updates when you're back.
Yeah.
We're going to go to a short break now. And we'll be back with our last part of the show very soon.
This is Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Couple Goals with me, Jordan Brooke.
And me, Sophie Kasai. In this segment, me and John are going to answer some questions regarding some relationships.
We will also invite listeners to send their relationship horror stories via voice notes, which me and Soph can react to. So as you've been doing, please, please, please go on to all of our social platforms, reply to the questions we're posting, and we're going to get through as many of these as we can.
Yeah, and we do love them. We really love getting the public involved because no better stories in the world than the general public.
It's brilliant. And you all really, really done me wonders with the ring one. So if we can keep that going.
No, they're all getting blocked.
Right. So this is our first horror story slash question at the minute that we're going to try and help you go through. Someone has written into us and said, how do I stop my boyfriend from going through my phone without causing a huge fight?
Oh, don't even get me started. I think it's disgusting.
I'm massively not an advocate for anyone going through anyone's phone. Sorry.
I've always said this. The moment you pick up your partner's phone and you look through that, that is the moment you need to step away from the relationship.
And they do say that you will always find what you're looking for.
Well, exactly.
Even if it's a nothing.
Even because, you know, look, if I want to go on your phone, right, and look through your WhatsApps to your lad group messages, I'll probably find a moment where you probably slagged us off and we've had a little bit of an argument. You've said things. Same with you and me.
What have you said about me on WhatsApp?
Well, nothing bad, obviously. But thing is, like, you're going to look at that. That's someone's private conversation and people should be able to reach out to their friends.
Of course.
And be able to talk about the relationship or get advice and speak about things. There's no harm in that at all.
No.
So if you're wanting to go and search for that and be upset by certain things they've said or certain things they've done, then you've got no trust. You've got to remember in a relationship, like, you should be able to talk to the people about your relationship and you should be open about the way you're feeling.
Of course.
It helps.
Of course.
Now, if you're going through someone's phone and you might find a photo that they've liked back in 2017 when you weren't with them or something, and that might affect you.
Yeah, even if you say you
just
don't
get in a rabbit hole.
Even if you say you don't care about that, naturally you're still gonna. It doesn't make you feel nice, you know. Everybody has had a life before the person you're with.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You've had boyfriends before me. I've had girlfriends before you. I need to have my boyfriends in. I've had girlfriends before you. And yes. Social media lasts forever.
Yeah.
Articles in the press last forever with us lot. There's definitely going to be articles of me with girls, you with boys.
My God, yeah.
So we have to deal with that. There will be things on social media of your partner would have liked something else back when they was at school.
Yeah.
Like, it is what it is. If that's going to wind you up, don't look at it.
It's funny because when I met you, I did my research.
Right.
And, like, I got in a really bad rabbit hole of, like, I went on YouTube, there was like a video of like you and an ex, and I was like, oh, this man is really angry. And then, like, I was like looking at
this is psycho Sophie coming out
I
here.
I was looking at the body language.
What?
And then you were talking about getting a dog, and I was like, oh my God, this, like, it was an interview we'd done on a red carpet. Do you know which one I mean?
You've got that dog
I've
now.
I've got that dog now. the dog is mine. But yeah, I went in a proper rabbit hole, and you'd just done an interview on FUBAR with Bobby.
Yeah.
So you'd just done an interview on the show, and I was like, listen to that, see if you were talking about any of the girls or anything.
Mate, girls are so different to boys.
I'm so glad you were like slightly in the public eye, because I found like quite a few things, but I never found anything bad.
No, I should like to think so.
So the thing is, like, what I'm saying, yeah, you can go through people's phone and you can go in a rabbit hole of looking at the past, but you've got to have trust in a relationship.
All day long.
It is so important.
Mm.
And I think me and you, that's one thing we have got, and that is trust.
Yeah.
And that's how our relationship really, really works. It is so important.
Yeah.
The moment you want to go through someone's phone,
I think the instant that happens, like, there's never once I'll turn around and I think, God, who's she talking to? I need to pick up her phone ever. I don't care. And I know you've got mates that are boys. Do you know what I mean? Like, it is what it is.
Yeah,
like,
but it's, look, I'd let you go through it if
but
you
we
want.
Don't. But we're not them sort of people. And I think, so I do think, when you're asking here, how do I stop my boyfriend going through my phone without causing a huge fight? Question yourself, why is he doing it?
Mm.
Is he doing it because it's his problem or yours? Are you behaving in a certain way? I'm not accusing you here, by the way, but are you doing things that make him think you're up to no good? Or is it trauma for him? Has he had a bad past relationship where a girl has cheated?
You need to really sit down. Yeah. There shouldn't be an argument.
No.
There should be a sit-down conversation. Both of you sit together and say, look, you keep going through my phone. What is going on? Why do you feel this way? What has happened to make you feel like that?
Yeah.
Talk about
and
it.
And is there anything I can do to make you feel better?
To make you feel better, because it needs to stop now.
Yeah.
And then put everything down on the table and say, this needs to stop. And then move on from
it. And also, I will say, you can't do the same to him. No. You can't be going through his phone.
No.
You know what I mean? It does go for both ways here.
It's just so toxic.
So we'll leave that one there. We're going to move on.
We wish you all the best.
Yeah, wish you all the best. We're going to move on to our next question now, which is, we recently got engaged.
Oh, I bet that was so lovely. Imagine that lovely feeling.
That's so fast. I don't know what to say. We recently got engaged and my fiance refuses to take my last name. It's important to me, but she says it's a deal breaker. What do I do? Well, personally, this could be a bit out there. I think, why would she not want to take your name? Especially if you're going to have children, surely she'd want the same name as your children.
I think you are probably, you are really by the book when it comes to that.
Old school.
Yeah, old school. And there's nothing wrong with that.
I feel like you and your family are as well.
Yeah, we are. But I get it in a weird way, right? Because I'm Sophia Kasai. And my surname means so much because, you know, there's not many girls in our family. If I marry and then that's like my surname gone.
Yeah, but so, you've got a brother that's going to carry on.
Well, that's only if he has a boy.
No.
Yeah.
His daughter will still have Kasai as a surname.
But then if she marries, she won't.
Yeah.
So our surname is going to be eventually extinct. So this is what I always think, like, to carry on the surname, it's a big thing.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I'll be called Sophie Brooke. Mm. But I think on like social media, I think 100%. I still have Sophie Kasai Brooke.
I think on legal documents, I think it's different. You're in the public eye. These people aren't in the public eye. Mm. So you're known as Sophie Kasai for 14 years for work, which that's effectively your stage name.
Yeah.
Same as my dad's Daryl King.
Yeah,
when he was always Daryl Brooke, it was his stage name. Mm. So, but I think you would always want to have the same name as our kids.
Yeah, of course.
You know,
of course.
And when it comes to like legal documentation of like your passports, your birth certificates, everything like that, then it's gonna we're gonna be so we know what our kids' names are gonna be, but we're not gonna tell you. But it would be Sophie Brooke, Jordan Brooke. But for work, you will always be Sophie Kasai.
Yeah, exactly.
Naturally.
It's like Cheryl Cole, still known as Cheryl Cole.
Yeah, because she was Cheryl Tweedy.
That's what I mean.
Remember that?
Yeah. So look,
using Ashley Cole.
Do you know what I mean? But like, you know, there's got to be a reason behind it. I would like to know what the fiance's reason is behind it, and I think it'll probably explain a lot more. But it can happen in relationships. People want to keep the surname, and people might not want to take it, depending how bad his surname is.
Yeah, but also,
like, if you've got a really bad, embarrassing surname, like, I don't know.
Don't be careful what you say, because you might upset a few people.
Like Willie Twister or something. Like, imagine
that. Right, if there is anybody in this world with the surname Willie Twister, please come forward and let us know.
It could happen.
Imagine.
Like McCracken or something.
But there is other ways to keep your names going. Like, we're definitely going to put your nan's name in our daughter's name somewhere, which is a family name, which means more to you than Kasai
does. Yeah, of course. You know? Of course, yeah. Yeah, of course. But yeah, you know, when you've got families that names are like running out and stuff, and as a girl, you want to carry on the surname. Mm. I get it. I do get it. But again, I just think it's so special to take your partner's surname, become
family.
That family. Yeah, family unite and everyone have the same surname.
I think it's shocking, really, that she's saying it's a deal breaker.
Yeah, but you don't know the reason. We need to know
more. No, I don't. Yeah, we need to know more. So if you can give us a bit more on that,
DM us,
we'll update
us
a little
more.
Bit more. Right, we've got one more listener question / horror story here.
Even though I love
for you. And this is obviously very apt as we are coming to Christmas time.
Okay.
So somebody has written in and said, my partner of 2 years wants to spend Christmas with me at our flat. However, my family believe Christmas is for family only and are making me feel guilty if I don't go. Help. Now, Christmas changes, and there's a lot of people out there that don't like it, but Christmas changes. When you're children, naturally, you spend it with your mum and dad.
Mm.
But as you get older children and you get to 16, 17, 18, and you've got a boyfriend or girlfriend, you want to see them and give them your Christmas presents, you know?
Yeah.
And then naturally, as you get even older, you move out with your partners.
Yeah.
It is very, very tough because you have two families, sometimes three families, once you go down the generations, that you all have to try and get together. And it is very, very hard to keep everybody happy.
It is. I think the first moment of not being there on Christmas Day with your family, it is a big thing. I had a few messages last night from a friend who was going through the same thing written in that, which is really weird. And I remember for me, the first time, it was at last Christmas when I wasn't with my dad. When was it?
No, last Christmas.
Was the first one with you?
Yeah.
Or third?
No, it was at mine, with all the family at mine.
Yeah, but yeah, so obviously me living in Essex now, is hard. Look, I am away from, like, my family. I know my mum lives down here now, but my family was always, we're always going to dad's restaurants for Christmas, and I'd be with everyone.
Of course.
And then I'd see my friends after. I would all go to the pub. So Christmas for me was always a special thing because I'd see everyone and I loved it. But now that I met you, I'm so far away from home anyway, so my family do understand it.
Mm.
But spending the first Christmas away from your family, you know, I did want to spend it with you, but I would have still wanted to be with family as well.
Of course.
It just happens. You do grow up, and I think your family have to accept that. Things change as you get older, and it's just accepting.
Definitely. Things do change. And like I said, it is a difficult time of year when you're trying to keep everybody happy, you know, but you must do what you can to help. So, for example, I know Sophie wants to see her dad at Christmas. So the weekend before Christmas, we're making the conscious effort. We're going up to Newcastle and we're going to see Soph's dad, Soph's brother. We're going to have a lovely time with all Soph's side of the family at Newcastle before we come back down and spend it in Essex with my family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, next year could be different. We could see my family the weekend before Christmas, then go up to Soph's families on the Christmas weekend after. And then, sadly, it will change again once me and Soph have children.
Yeah.
Then we've got the kids, everybody will come to us. Whoever wants to come can come.
I think every year does change. Things change, people's lives change, people grow, people have kids, people move on, you know. Different things happen. And I think for Christmas, you know, it is hard for some people. I get it, you need to spread out and you need to try and make everyone happy, you know, broken families. Like, I went through that, and you as well, you know, when your parents aren't together and you have to go to them and then you've got to see grandparents. So
yeah.
I think just trying to find time to see everyone.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing that your family want to see you, you know, on Christmas. Everyone wants to have a bit of your time.
Of course.
You've just got to plan it and make sure that you're happy and everyone else is happy. And Christmas shouldn't be about stressfulness and trying to see everyone. It should just be about just spending your time with people, quality time.
I love personally that, like, you've been together 2 years here, this says, your partner of 2 years. Have the families met? Personally, I like it when you try and pull everybody together. And, like, have you mentioned to your family that potentially can my partner's family come to yours as well?
Yeah, that's a good one.
And you do it all and have a nice big party. We've always had quite big family dos, I'll be honest with you. Like, my Auntie Dee's.
Yeah, you are, like...
My Auntie Dee's not got the biggest house in the world, but we've had 25, 30 people there for Christmas dinner. And you all make it work. It's brilliant. You know what
I mean? I remember when... we're not doing the Christmas bit yet, but I'll talk about it anyway. But when I first... Well, I hadn't been with you long. It was like 3 months into the relationship.
Yeah.
We had a Christmas get-together. This was the first Christmas I was away from my family.
Yeah.
And we did a New Year thing with your family.
It's class, yeah.
And then we're sitting around a dinner table, and then all of you are just getting up and giving these big speeches about what you want for next year. And I'm sitting there thinking... Oh my God.
I threw you right in the deep end.
I'm actually quite good at public speaking, but in a room full of family that I didn't really know, it was so nerve-wracking.
It was brilliant though. It was great.
It was great.
But I think, I think you need to speak to your partner and speak to your family. Your family shouldn't be making you feel guilty.
If it's
what you want to do and you're happy and you can go and see them on Christmas Eve, then you do what you want to do. One thing I've learned this year is... be a little bit selfish sometimes.
There's nothing wrong with that, Jordan.
Absolutely.
Nothing wrong.
I've learned that. So
good.
Don't let anyone make you feel guilty. And obviously, your partner is going to be there with you every step of the way.
Exactly.
So, right. That rounds that up. That is it from us for this show. Thank you, everybody, to listening. Thank you to our amazing guest, Harry.
Thank you. Thank you for everyone as well writing in and talking to us and listening to us. Honestly, we appreciate it so, so much.
Remember, you can download the app, the FUBAR app, and listen to us every week and follow us on social media at Couple Goals Show for all the clips and updates of what is coming up.
Yeah.
Next week, we have got our Christmas special.
Woo!
We unfortunately don't have any guests, but so you're stuck with me and Sophie for an hour.
But we've got so much that we want to talk about.
Yeah.
And we want to know everything about your Christmases and how you spend it. And
that's it.
Are me and John just weird? Like, are we not? Are we normal?
We're going to play a few Christmas games.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the Towie Christmas special, which is eventful.
Yeah.
We've got some amazing things we're talking about.
We've got amazing news that we are going to tell you as well. So please stay tuned, because it's going to be one of the best episodes to end the year on.
Absolutely. And we will see you all soon.
Thank you. Love yous.